Okay, folks, so this is another episode of the Brunson Podcast. This is actually an interview with my mom. So I haven't probably shared with a lot of you, but I am from a family of 15 kids. My mom's a superstar, and I actually just, it was kind of a funny series of events, but she ended up getting slightly TikTok famous because she published a video about all the years that she's been pregnant, and everyone just went crazy over it. Some people are just hating on her, other people are saying it's the best thing ever. Kind of a funny thing. And we started talking about it as a, you know, as a family, and I, you know, I think the conclusion was a lot of women out there really want to know, how my mom deals with having a big family. And so she's decided to open up about her life a little bit. And that's something that, I mean, I've talked to my parents before on the podcast, and they're just absolutely incredible, but I haven't shared a lot about their, some of their own experiences. And so my mom's kind of opened up about her beliefs on this and some of her ideas. So I think you're going to really enjoy this episode, especially for my audience. I know that some of my mom's in the audience there. So you'll really love this episode, I think, about how she thinks. And I'd love any feedback. If there's certain pieces here that you enjoy and you want, want to hear more about what my mom thinks about, let me know. Well, and it's like, there's things that you're not going to share and there's things that you are going to share, but it's not too tough. All right, folks. So by popular demand, we wanted to ask a few questions. So me and my mom here are going to discuss. So I'm the second oldest of her 15 kids. I'm also a bit of a enthusiast podcaster. So I'm here kind of, we're going to have a discussion, but we had some really interesting questions come up, on this TikTok stream. So for those that don't know, we'll kind of catch up to speed. One of the girls in the family kind of decided that it'd be fun to make a video of my mom. And so she published that and ended up getting like, what, 3.5 million views or something like that.
The very first video went, I don't know, a couple million in a couple of days. And then she published another one that went over 3 million.
Yeah, so kind of a funny thing. And so people, it's kind of funny because we've seen all these questions popping up about, I mean, actually, so we're not letting mom read the comments because some people are just like to see the world burn. So she's not allowed to read the comments, but I've read through them. And if I had my own account, I may respond a little bit more aggressively to some because there were some pretty funny ones, but also some really great questions. And people were really curious about it. And I think I think the discussion was kind of along the lines of a lot of people don't think it's possible to have even a couple of kids, let alone 15.
Yeah.
And the first question that I got that I thought was really funny was, how do you stay sane with 15 kids? And so if you were to speak onto that, Mom, what would you say there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you think I'm sane?
Just the occasional curse word, but yeah, I'd say pretty dang stable. So.
Well, I think I'm sane. I think I've actually done, for the most part, a pretty good job. I think you have a roller coaster of emotions when you're pregnant and nursing, and your hormones are going up and down and up and down through those years of pregnancy, nursing, normal. And a lot of times I wouldn't even get really normal because I'd still be nursing. And then I would go from nursing to baby. So I definitely had the highs and lows of hormones. But I did feel like I kept it fairly balanced. I kept it within this little wave on the scale of, you know, what somebody might call normal, I feel like. And within that normal space, my husband was really good. Brunson's dad, we did a date night every week, faithfully and religiously. And we were able to get out even a little bit more lately. We've been able to get out and do some more long-term getaways. But the day-to-day life, I would exercise. And I always said I exercise to keep my mental state well. I would get up early in the morning and exercise so that I could keep myself sane.
Do you think that you're a unicorn? You think you're one in a million, or do you think that most people can take on a pretty substantial motherhood load?
Well, that's kind of hilarious that you say that, because I never saw myself having a lot of kids. Funny thing is, my mom a few years ago said of all of my children, she has five, of all of her children, I was the one that she never thought would have a lot of kids. So that's kind of a funny little side note on your question. I just think we're all given different abilities and different strengths and different weaknesses. And the road that I'm going down isn't for everyone. And I applaud and honor anybody with a one child to 20 kids, you know, whatever that space is, or no kids. Some people choose not to have children, and that's okay. Like, this was my journey. This was a path that God placed for me. And I feel like that's not always every path.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because, that leads into another question that I keep on seeing was that people, and I'll speak a little on this one too, because people said, there's no way those kids have turned out remotely normal, because it's just not possible. It's not feasible to get enough attention in your life to be a normal child. And those older kids are going to be completely messed up because they've had to parent and raise kids. What's your thought on that? I mean, I'll obviously pipe in here as the second oldest, but I'm kind of curious what your opinion is on that. Am I sane, Mom?
I don't know.
Am I normal?
Well, people are going to have to determine that through this video. I've kind of been pondering this thought a lot here in the last little 24 hours or so. And what's normal? You know, what's normal? I think that what might be considered normal to one person might be completely different to another person. And I feel like a lot of times, you take the positive of your childhood and you use that as the box of normal. And a lot of times you take the the negative experiences of your childhood and dwell on the things that were wrong in your childhood. And so then that creates the line of normal for your definition of a normal childhood. So I don't think that I can define what normal is for anybody. I don't think I can say what I think is a normal or healthy, perfect way to raise kids. But I do feel like a lot of times people have a lack of time with their parents, a lack of experience, a lack of money, a lack of fun, a lack of touch. Like, a lot of people get a lack of, and so then they say, well, my childhood wasn't normal. And so therefore they overcompensate to define normal. So, okay, maybe we should define normal, right? I don't know what normal is, but I felt like my husband and myself came from very healthy backgrounds with having two-parent households, and we were able to glean from them on the way they raise kids. And so with that, I feel like we created a home where there's love. We created a home where there's respect. We created a home where we created love of learning in our home. And I don't say this in any way to brag or to be boastful, but my five oldest kids have traveled internationally and they have all learned a foreign language and they're independent. And that to me is successful in the fact that all of my kids are independent. They know how to cook. They know how to clean. They know how to function in life. They know how to be a good neighbor, a good friend. They live the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. I think that's a big part. You know, if you're a good person and living a good life, isn't that part of it too? Let's see. I'm looking because I actually had taken a few notes here because I have kind of been thinking about this a little bit. Yeah, just to have you guys be self-sufficient and productive members of society, contributing members of society. You know, I feel like that's what I'm after. I don't know if somebody would say that's normal or not, but that's what I'm after. I'm after kids who want to follow God's will. I'm after kids who want to be happy. And certainly I'm going to have people who know me and say, well, I've met that family and they have holes in their parenting. Absolutely, I do. As every single person who's listening to this, if they look at the way they've parented, they have holes in the way that they parent. We all do. I've never met a single person who would ever tell me that they don't have holes in their parenting. But one thing I do believe is that 99.9% of the people out there want to be a good parent. I mean, I think that's their core desire, is to be a good parent, however that looks. But a lot of times they have so much baggage on the backside, you know, they're just doing the best they can. And I think that's the message I want to say, is like, we've done the best that we can. And through the experience of raising my children, especially my older children, they have learned amazing life skills. Like, they are amazing adults, and I wouldn't change it. Definitely there's things that I could have done better on. Absolutely. Is there things that I would love to change? Absolutely. But I'm really happy with who my kids have turned out to be.
Well, that's good news. Glad to hear that. It's funny, cause I get asked this. I mean, I get a series of questions. It's, me and my other sister, Karina, we're talking about this. Whenever we go on a date, we always get the same questions. And the first one is usually, wait, 15 kids? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All biological. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you can see the little gears turning in their head. And then it's always the next one. Oh, so what does your dad do for a living? I'm like, we're not rich. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because right. That's the assumption, right? You must just have so much money. You got nothing else. You know, what else are you going to do with your time? And so there's that one. And then, and if it's, especially if it's with a girl, if I'm on a date,
how many kids do you
she'll
want?
She'll say, number three is
okay.
No, number three. No, not yet there. It's number three is, where do you fall in the family? Cause she has to know if she's going to be responsible for any of this craziness. I'm number two. Oh, okay.
That's why you're still single. No,
it's not that good looking. And then the third, exactly right. That's why I'm not married yet. And the number four is, and they always pause on this and they go, and they try to act it casual, like it just popped into their head randomly, like as though they're not asking because it came from a family, just like this random, oh, I don't care. I mean, how many kids do you want? Right. And they try to always say it in a way that sounds like so nonchalant. And I always think that a really cute thing to do is to look deeply into their eyes, grab their hand and say, I'm going to let you decide.
Yeah.
Cause that's always
Brenton, I'm wondering if I should pause this and try to get a charger. Cause this is, I'm like at 10% now. I think I'm at, okay.
What percentage? Okay. You're okay. Yeah, we'll be fine. So, on my end, this is my two cents. I think that, like my mom said, there is no such thing as good parents. There's only good enough parents. Nobody gets the job right. And I'm not a father yet. So I think I'm trying to give myself grace already. So that way I can have tell my kids that. I'll probably tell that from day one. Hey, listen, I'm the best you got. So if you don't like it, we can always send you back. But I think that the main idea is that no kid goes through life without trauma and without things that affect them and things that hurt them. And that one time, I remember so distinctly one time, I had my little arm swimmers on, and we were in, I think, Las Vegas actually, or somewhere. And I must've been pretty young. It's one of my earliest memories. And one of them, I think, deflated somehow. And in my mind, I vividly remember this, right? Like there's no doubt in my mind that for about 5 minutes, I gasped for air and everyone just stood at the shore and everyone just stood at the edge of the pool and just laughed and laughed and laughed as I was struggling for air, right? And I was drowning and I was fighting for my life. And the funny thing is, like, knowing my parents now, it's like, yeah, if there was even a drop of water in my nose, my mom would have dove in there and pulled me out of the water. And you did. But in my mind, someone chuckled probably at a joke that someone else heard. And I was in my mind struggling for my life. And as a child, I remember, I mean, literally this is my memory is exact that everyone was laughing and just pointing fingers at me and he's just struggling to survive. And I know that wasn't the reality, right? So that's become this root of trauma. Now I still have a lot of fear of water. I think it's from that one particular experience, right? And I'm, you know, as I work through that, I've gotten into scuba diving, just trying to get over this fear of water. And so it's funny that we have these dumb little things happen in our life when we were a kid, and then, okay, we're permanently damaged for that, right? Nobody gets through childhood without trauma. It doesn't happen. Whenever someone says that, people tell me, I never had anything wrong in my childhood. I'm like, okay, you're just full of it. Now I know you're really messed up, right? If you're going to say that. So, and then people ask, and some of these comments said, there's no way those older kids, those poor older kids. And well, for one, I think, well, first of all, kind of shame on you for making that assumption.
No one knows my name. They don't know how old I am. They don't know my children's name. They don't know anything about me. And yeah, people very quickly assume that they know everything about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very quick assumptions. Yeah. Those kids are all messed up. Yeah. Wait till they're adults. They won't be functioning members of society. They're going to have so much. Da, da, da. I'm like, of course I've got trauma from being a human. Like I'm not going to deny that. So when people say like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my child was perfect. It wasn't, right? But nothing was wrong with it either. Right. Nothing. There was nothing wrong with my childhood. I did grow up quick.
I wanted it.
I had responsibility young age, but
I wanted my kids to be independent.
Only in this most recent generation do we actually have kids that don't have that. Yeah. This most recent generation do kids actually not have any sense of responsibility or duty. It's just weird. It's until you're 29 and you finally decide to move to your parents' house, you can finally start making decisions as an adult. And that's just not the way that we were raised. It was that be a contributor at a young age, learn how to add value to those around you. And as a result of that, I've been able to be, you know, I think, and in my mind, at least by my definition of success, very successful in my life because of that upbringing. I look around the world and say, how can I contribute and add value to other people's lives? And that's the best way. I mean, and I did that even as a young kid. I mean, when I was 11, and this is a fun story for those listening at home. When I was 11, I went to my mom with my 9-year-old brother and we said, we want to do a window cleaning business. And my mom took us out to Don Aslett's and some other place. I don't remember the name of the other place, but, and you took us out and you had us interview a few different window cleaners. And then we went to Don Aslett's and we asked them all these questions. We got all the right equipment, I think, for $120.
Maybe, I don't know.
I think, did you loan it to us? I think you loaned it to us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you must have, because there's no way we could have afforded it. We went out and for $20 a house, we cleaned windows. And some people might look at that and say, oh, that's shame on those parents. I mean, those kids had to work. It's like, well, yeah. And as a result, I was able to, I mean, as a 16-year-old, I remember the first day I made $1,000 in a day. One of the coolest days of my life, right? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it happened. And I learned that if you add value to people's life, they pay you really well for it. And I said, well, who can I add value to? I said, maybe I can find some really rich people to add value to. So I drove up to Yellowstone National Park and found a bunch of cabins up there and went door to door as a 16-year-old boy. Pop, 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 pop. Hey, I'm the local window cleaner here. Like, give me a high five. Bam. Hey, let's get your windows cleaned up. And people would pay me just unbelievable amounts of money to go clean windows. And so I was making all this money. I mean, all of that stemmed from this upbringing of take responsibility for your life and be a contributor. Find how to add value. Find out how to contribute to those around you. So to the person that, what's her name? Oh, we're going to pull this. We're going to do an absolute shout out to this chick right here. Lucky crowd, at Lucky crowd. Yes. Like no child is perfect. No child's going to get through life without issues, but to make the assumption that you're messed up because of a big family is completely ridiculous, because you could be as equally traumatized in a family of one. In fact, I would argue that people, here's my prejudice coming out here a little bit, I guess, but I look at kids with only one child and go, oh my gosh, how did you turn out normal? With never having to realize that life isn't fair and you have to take, you take responsibility on your shoulders and all these other core values. Anyway, so I could really rant on this for a while, but I would say by and large, none of my siblings are perfect. We've all had plenty of mistakes, but I think we give ourselves and each other a lot of grace for that. We've learned through it. And you will not find a lot of families with a stronger growth focused mindset than my family. I can say that with quite a bit of confidence. We sure fall down, but man, we sure get up. And we all work through our stuff and we all work through our whatever. And now we've got the oldest finally, who's married and starting a family of his own. And I'm just so excited because he's just become an incredible man in my eyes. I mean, one of the finest men that I know. And I look at that as just a natural outgrowing of that. So the middle kids, we don't know yet. They're not grown up yet. We'll see. Maybe they're going to all be messed up. Maybe you're all right. But I look at a family that really tries hard to do what's right. I look at a family that has an incredible sense of rally around each other and rallying their own self-esteem when they're down. I mean, that's my perspective. So sure, big families can have issues. They can have drawbacks.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say,
I've got friends
that range from zero children up to, I'm not just that I know. But I have friends that have 13, 12 down, 6, 5, and every one of them have children who have struggled with their upbringing. It has nothing to do with being in a family of 15. There's other things going on. It has nothing to do with the large family. In my opinion, like you said, somebody with one child, two children, 5, 6, 12, 15, you can have the same issues and the same problems, even the lack of attention. Honestly, sometimes even the families that have few kids, because parents are able to work and spend a lot of time. I mean, a lot of times I would say most of the people that I know that are raising a couple of kids, both parents work. And I'm not against both parents working. The point is that a lot of times the attention is not there either. You know, you think because I have, I've had 15 children that I don't give any attention. Yeah. My time is spread thin, but if I have friends who both work, their time is spread thin as well, because the time they get home from work and then they have to make food and buy groceries and do all the things they have to do, their time spread thin just as much as my time is spread thin. We all have the same amount of time in a day. I'm fortunate enough that I get to be at home with my children, so I see them all day long. I'm a part of their life all day long.
Well, and it's quality over quantity in my mind. Everyone thinks, oh yeah, like, well, I'm spending hours with my kids. I'm like, doing what? Right? If you're spending hours with your kid watching Netflix, it's like, well, that's cool. I mean, that's nothing inherently wrong with that, but that's very different than giving undivided attention. I think that's something that you and Dad did really well.
Yeah.
Was that I went shopping with Mom. I mean, still to this day, so many of all my friends tease me because I love Costco.
Yeah.
And I love going to the grocery store. It's like, well, that's where I had the best conversations with my mom. We didn't have time to be able to go and, you know, what would normal kids do with this? How do more normal kids spend time with their mom? I don't have any idea. For you and I, it was, hey, we've got to go drop so-and-so off at soccer and pick up so-and-so up from dance and then go, you know, running all over the town. So I'd hop in the car with you and I'd do my projects along the way and we'd just talk about life. And that's the thing about it is it's not about like how many kids you have. And again, I'm not saying that every parent can do it. In fact, if you want my honest opinion, I don't think every parent should have 15 kids. I think it's a very personal choice on how many kids you have. And I get asked all the time how many kids I'm going to have. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm going to see how me and my wife handle the first three and we'll kind of go from there. I do want three. That's pretty firm on that there. But there could be all kinds of kids.
It's not my house. My
Sorry,
house is
I got
quiet.
I got a neighbor over here who's yelling. I'm not sure why. Exactly. Yeah. You would think that this would be the less crazy home. But it's not, attention is very different for every child, right? I mean, I think that sure there's some advantages, but when I think of how many kids we'll have, I'm like, I don't know because I don't know what I can handle yet. Right. I mean, that's part of it as well, is that some people have a natural ability to spread their time in a way you've always been super efficient with your time. I think that allows you a lot of freedom to have this number of kids. Some people don't have that emotional capacity and they have other callings in life. It's not about that. So anyways, I think that my overall synopsis spark notes version of this is that, I think it's just individual, man. It's just super individual.
Yes.
But to assume that a child won't get attention because they're from a big family is utterly ridiculous, because you just adjust. I mean, you just adjust like anything else in life. It's like, oh, you couldn't live a normal life if you didn't, if you're missing a few limbs. It's like, well, people do, because they adjust and they adapt and they work out the solutions and they get more creative.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done our family in a big way. The older siblings do play a major role. I'm not going to deny that.
Well, it's like,
we play a major role and we take kids out for lunch and we do, but I love that. Like, why would I, like, well, does that ruin like my childhood? Because, you know, I had to go take my little brother out for lunch on his birthday. Friend. No, that's the best thing ever.
You're taking your best friend out who happens to be your younger sibling. I had my 4-year-old just come to me and said, can we snuggle on the couch?
Exactly.
And we have this little thing that we do, and we go and get on the couch, and she goes to my room, and I have this certain blanket that's on my chair in my bedroom. She drags the blanket out. We sit on the couch and we snuggle. And that's just, that's how we spend time. That's how she likes to spend time, is we just sit and snuggle. Sometimes she'll look at a book, or we'll read, or I'll be on my phone or whatever, but it's just sitting on the couch, snuggling with a specific blanket. That's how she likes to spend time with me.
Yep. I think it is not as black and white as we like to make it out to be. So anyways, to all those people that are on TikTok that are saying that, it's like, yeah, well, number one, you don't know.
Yeah.
And number two, I would say,
I could too.
If you wanted to pick out flaws in our family, it wouldn't, I could give you the list myself. Right. I mean, we can list them chronologically or alphabetically, any way you want to do it. We're not perfect at all, but I think we're all really happy. I think we all live lives of fulfillment. I think we all chase passion and we're all very, 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 very different people. And we're all going in very different directions with how we want our lives to turn out in certain ways. But I think our core values are very similar and they're pretty strong. And that's what's kind of,
you know, I actually just heard something today that I thought was a really interesting thought.
Well, Mom, any parting thoughts here?
I'm not, maybe not getting the quote exactly right, but it says I and my husband are uniquely qualified for our children because we love each one. And I've just been thinking about that a lot. Every single person that's listening to this is uniquely qualified for their children because they love them. Yes.
And fantastic, fantastic parting thought there.
No,
well, Mom,
we're holding on here for a second.
It's been fun. We'll have to do this again. And hopefully your phone's not dead. So this is part of the joys of having a big family. You just kind of just ride by the seat of your pants sometimes. So, all right.